The Presentation of Self in Everyday Life by Irving Goffman. Irving Goffman likens social interaction to a con game in which we are consistently trying to put forward a certain impression or self in order to get something from others. Although many will not see human behavior so cynically, Goffman's analysis sheds light on how people try to manage the impressions that others have of them. When an individual plays a part, he implicitly requests his observers to take seriously the impression that is fostered before them. They are asked to believe that the character they see actually possesses the attributes he appears to possess, and that the task he performs will have the consequences that are implicitly claimed for it, and that in general matters are what they appear to be. In line with this, there is a popular view that the individual offers his performance and puts on a show for the benefit of other people. It will be convenient to begin a consideration of performances by turning the question around and looking at the individual's own belief in the impression of reality that he attempts to engender in those among he finds himself. At one extreme, one finds that the performer can fully be taken by his own act. He can be sincerely convinced that the impression of reality which he stages is real reality. When his audience is also convinced this way about the show he puts on, and this seems to be the typical case, then for the moment, at least, only the sociologist or the socially disgruntled will have any doubts about the realness of what is presented. At the other extreme, we find that the performer may not be taken in at all by his own routine. This possibility is understandable, since no one is quite as good an observational position to see through the act as the person who puts it on. Coupled with this, the performer may be moved to guide the conviction of his audience only as a means to other ends, having no ultimate concern in the conception that they have of him or of the situation. When the individual has no belief in his own act and no ultimate concern for the beliefs of his audience, we may call him cynical, reserving the term sincere for individuals who believe the impression fostered by their own performance. It should be understood that the cynic, with all his professional disinvolvement, may obtain unprofessional pleasures from his masquerade, experience a kind of gleeful spiritual aggression from the fact that he can toy with at will with something his audience must take seriously. It is not assumed, of course, that all cynical performers are interested in deluding their audiences for purposes of what is called self-interest or private gain. A cynical individual may delude his audience for what he considers to be their own good, or for the good of the community, etc. For illustrations of this, we need not appeal to sadly enlightened showmen such as Marcus Aurelius or Sun Tzu. We know that in service occupations, practitioners who may otherwise be sincere are sometimes forced to delude their customers because their customers show such a heartfelt demand for it. Doctors who are led into giving placebos, filling station attendants who resignedly check and recheck tire pressures for anxious women motorists, shoe clerks who sell a shoe that fits but tell customers the size she wants to hear. These are cynical performers whose audience will not allow them to be sincere. Similarly, it seems that sympathetic patients in mental wards will sometimes feign bizarre symptoms so that the student nurses will not be subjected to a disproportionately sane performance. So also, when inferiors extend their most lavish reception for visiting superiors, the selfish desire to win favor may not be the chief motive. The inferior may be tactfully attempting to put the superior at ease by simulating kind of world the superior is thought to take for granted. I have suggested two extremes. An individual may be taken by his own act or be cynical about it. These extremes are something of a little more than just the ends of a continuum. Each provides the individual with a position which has its own particular securities and defenses, so there will be a tendency for those who have traveled close to one of the poles to complete the voyage. Starting with lack of inward belief in one's role, the individual may follow the natural movement described by Park. It is probably no mere historical accident that the word person, in its first meaning, is a mask. It is rather a recognition of the fact that everyone is always and everywhere, more or less consciously playing a role. It is in these roles that we know each other. It is in these roles that we know ourselves. In this sense, and insofar as this mask represents the conception we have formed of ourselves, the role we are striving to live up to, this mask that is our truer self, the self we would like to be. In the end, our conception of our role becomes second nature and an integral part of our personality. We come to the world as individuals, achieve character, and become persons. Front, then, is the expressive equipment of a standard kind of intentional or unwittingly employed by the individual during his performance. For preliminary purposes, it will be convenient to distinguish and label what seems to be the standard parts of front. First, there's the setting, involving furniture, decor, physical layout, and other background items, which supply the scenery and stage props for the spate of human action played out before, within, or upon it. If we take the term setting to refer to the scenic parts of expressive equipment, one may take the term personal front to refer to the other items of expressive equipment, the items that we most intimately identify with the performer himself and that we naturally expect will follow the performer wherever he goes. As part of a personal front, we may include insignia of officer rank, clothing, sex, age, and racial characteristics, size and looks, posture, speech patterns, facial expressions, body gestures, and the like. Some of these vehicles for conveying signs, such as racial characteristics, are relatively fixed and over a span of time do not vary for the individual from one situation to another. On the other hand, some of these sign vehicles are relatively mobile or transitory, such as facial expression, and can vary during a performance from one moment to the next. In addition to the fact that different routines may employ the same front, it is to be noted that a given social front tends to become institutionalized in terms of the abstract stereotyped expectations to which it gives rise, and tends to take on a meaning and stability apart from the specific tasks which happen at the time to be performed in its name. The front becomes a collective representation and a fact in its own right. When an actor takes on an established social role, usually he finds that a particular front has already been established for it. When his acquisition of the role was primarily motivated by a desire to perform the given task, or by a desire to maintain the corresponding front, the actor will find that he must do both. Further, if an individual takes on a task that is not only new to him, but also unestablished in society, or if he attempts to change the light in which his task is viewed, it is likely to find that there are already several well-established fronts among which he must choose. Thus, when a task is given a new front, we seldom find that the front is given itself.